This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. This is your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing. The number to get in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. James, welcome back into the fold, my friend. We now are finished with all of the Kentucky Derby qualifiers for 2024.
Yes, good evening, Bobby. We are done. The last one was Encino. Looks like he's a Godolphin homebred son of Nyquist for Brad Cox. Looks like he'll run in the Derby. And he got in this week, had a couple of horses defect come out. And so we've had, we've had movement on both the Derby and Oaks front here of late. We've had a couple horses get into the field for the Derby and a couple horse fillies come out. And now, even on that Oaks front, we have a chance for Candy to get in the race, which I didn't think would happen after her third in the Ashland, but she's in 15th, one spot out, and there might be at least one or two defections from the top 14 there.
I wonder what price she would be if she made it into the Derby. I'm sure we're going to get a square price on her.
Ultimate trouble trip.
We're going to like her if she ends up in the Oaks. It's just how much do we like her in that spot, because the Oaks looks like a very talented field. As far as the Derby goes, so No More Time came out last Sunday. He worked Sunday morning and apparently was off when he came back to the barn, and they discovered a minor injury. So the Sam Davis winner is out, and he was the one who allowed Encino to sneak in the back door, if you will, and go from 21st to 19th on the list. T.O. Password won the Japan Road to the Kentucky Derby, so he's locked in at number 20. Has Deterministic officially come out of the Derby yet?
No. I haven't seen any updates since it was reported that Clement said he was unlikely. But, that wasn't a final decision. So we'll see what happens. But, he definitely could aim for, a shorter distance race. And, Endless Lee's status is still not 100%. He still has another work coming up, or, probably which they want to see before they make a decision with him.
Is Encino a cinch for the Derby? The last I read from Brad Cox was they weren't 100% sure whether they were going to wheel back in the Derby or wait for the Preakness.
Yeah, he said that, exactly. He said after the race, though, he's going to leave it up to Godolphin and their team of advisors, and he'd give his opinion, but he was going to ship them over to Churchill Downs and train them up to the Derby if they wanted to run in that, or definitely go to the Preakness if they opted to not come back in 3 weeks. He basically said, he thinks he belongs there, and, he's improving. And, to me, it's going to be a tough task to jump up and win the Derby in your fourth start, where you, broke your maiden just in January on and ran your first two races on synthetic. But, I like the versatility he's shown. He doesn't break sharply in the John Battaglia Memorial and rallies from far back to win that race going away. And then his other two starts, he leads wire to wire. And like most people on Saturday, I absolutely believe that DeJuan Stewart, he was working fast. He was coming off a layoff. He was a 6-furlong sprint winner. And I just thought he'd be sent from the inside and get the lead because the other speed horses were drawn outside. And it's that seemed like that was the place to be at Keeneland. And Encino just beat him to the lead easily, got right over to the rail. And it was a good race because at the top of the stretch, Juan Stewart drew about even with him. And Drew had another gear left upon Encino, and he drew off to win by about a length. Drew is going to ride just a touch, so the mount's going to come open in Encino. I believe the mount for Resilience still hasn't been named because John Velasquez rode him his last two or three starts, and he rides Fierceness. So there's a couple of mounts open right now. One jockey who doesn't have a mount is Jose Ortiz, and he'll be under consideration, you would think.
How about Pat Valenzuela? Is he coming back yet? Can we get him into the Kentucky Derby?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think he's announced his eighth or ninth comeback yet. But
I think he was actually recently galloping horses for somebody or working. I don't know what he was or doing something in the barn area, which
in California.
Yeah, I think he was within the last 6-8 months. There was a story on. It might have been at Del Mar last year, but
well,
I haven't read it.
He had to get a license to do that, so good for him. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's my favorite rider of all time, but I'm guessing he's probably not the same in his mid 60s or whatever he is right now that he was, you know, in the mid 80s when he was, or mid 80s, early 90s when he was really at the top of the game. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. All right, so we about 85-90% know who's going to be in the Derby this year, assuming there isn't anything bad that happens to these runners between now and Kentucky Derby Day. And I don't know if we should assume that, but hopefully nothing bad will happen. What horse do you think, or what horses do you think would be most affected by, let's say, drawing the one hole in the Kentucky Derby?
I think it would hurt, you know.
I mean, if you're the other
side of it, I mean, one horse it potentially wouldn't hurt at all is Sierra Leone. I mean, he's going to be running late. He might be comfortable breaking down there. If I'm looking at other horses, you know, I look at a horse like, you know, these up close stalkers, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, Just a Touch or Resilience and horses like that. They want to, you know, but, you know, even like a horse like Just Steal off that good second in Arkansas Derby, you know, they do their best running like in the top five or six, in my opinion. And it's difficult to work out that trip if you draw the rail, you know, especially if you got some speed right to your outside. You know, if you draw the rail and you got six closers immediately to your side, it might be a little different, but it can definitely, it's definitely, you got some work to do to work out a trip from down there.
All right, we'll talk more about the Kentucky Derby as callers call in, and of course in the coming weeks. I want to quickly get like your Cliff's Notes edition for some of the other stakes that we saw last week. Let's start with the Makers, Mark Mile and Master of the Seas, what you saw in his return to Keeneland last Friday.
I saw a brilliant turn of foot coming off the far turn. You know, he was going to swing him out. Two or three pass, and then they were bunched up, and he dove down the inside, and he won really strongly going away, and his stablemate, naval officer, I thought ran well to be a clear second. You know, they were the two clear best horses, and you know, on that day, I was encouraged to see Master C's come back. Was initially Appleby mentioned the Churchill Downs Stakes, but now he's saying he's going to wait for, you know, basically take the flight line plan and give him 4 months off while, you know, and aim for 3 or 4 months and aim for the four-star Dave at Saratoga. But, you know, he's a gelding. So one thing about him is, you know, he, even if he wins out this year, if he's still going strong, he could be back running next year. And, you know, he's still in dynamite form.
All right, before we go to the phones, quick hit on what you saw from Skelly in the Count Fleet and Adair Manor in the Apple Blossom.
Skelly, it was freaking, was really good, and I hope that these...
Wait, did the word freaking just come out of your mouth? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, okay. Freaking, just F-R-E-A-K-I-N, like okay. A freak. You know, he's really gotten good. I thought his rehot sprint was, you know, he really showed good class to take his game on the road and run a good second in that race overseas. Came back real strong. I hope this early season races over the winter races don't, like, zap him for later in the year, because I think he's a lot better than he was last year. And I know he's won almost every race at Oaklawn, but I think, you know, he's obviously got a chance to win major grade one races elsewhere going forward. And as far as Adair Manor, she rebounded really well. She was really sharp. I want to see Baffert run her in grade one races in New York this summer instead of just beating up on overmatched foes. One thing about that race, though, Taxed and Wet Paint did not fire at all. They're like up the track, sixth and seventh. It's all long shots, second, third, and fourth. And the best fillies and mares outside of Adair Man are on the dirt are all running in this La Troyenne. You're going to have, you know, Idiomatic, Monomoy Girl, Zygera.
We're not having Monomoy Girl. Monomoy Girl is definitely not running.
Pretty mischievous. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100% Monomoy Girl pretty is not in the race.
Gosh, can you believe I said that? Yeah, pretty mischievous. And also Tiny Temper for Dallas Stewart, among others. And, you know, I just think, gosh, I watched that race last Saturday, Bobby, and I remember when they used to run both Apple Blossom and the Oakland Handicap on that first Saturday in April, and fillies would run and even males would run back from the Oakland, the Handicap and the Apple Blossom in the La Troyenne and Ali Sheba. And now I know why they changed the dates, because they made the meet longer, but it still makes those trainers choose between the races and, you know, can hurt the quality of you know, one or both of them.
By the way, Malathat also not running in the La Troyenne, in case you were wondering.
No Malathat, no search rules.
No. Search results.
Search results.
Yeah.
I was looking up some possibles for that race, and I saw Secret Oath, and I was like, darn it, this is like the 2023 La Troyenne. But never mind.
No, and she's not going to win this year. Let's go to the phones. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Happy Thursday, guys. Happy Thursday.
You too.
Question, a couple of things. You know, I'm really notice a lot of these tracks are starting to have these turf sprints that are either on the pick four with the major stakes of the day or run right up before them. And maybe I'm a little biased because I just have no confidence in my ability to do a turf sprint. And that's one thing I like about the Derby card, is that that Old Forester, you know, turf race is the one that's before that. But why are racetracks going in that trend? Are more people betting these turf sprints, or is it because maybe people think it's bigger prices?
Bigger fields. Turf sprints fill. That's why they go everywhere, and the more horses you have, the more money is bet. It's very simple.
Yeah, and you could have the turf sprint on Derby Day. I mean, they don't have they run the Old Forester before the race, but they don't have the order of the other stakes all set. And it could be in the late pick four, pick five, because that's
yeah,
been,
but
you know, I remember last year I had a huge field.
Yeah, at least it's not in the late double, though, so I always feel good about that. Bobby, I want to give you a compliment.
Oh, boy.
You know, you have a show on during the week that shows races and plays races from 3 to 5 that people can listen to in the car. And I really think that's what that sport needs. And I say that because I unfortunately had to run in unexpected errands Sunday afternoon, and I was completely amazed that in the vehicle without XM that I have, I could not listen to the Masters. And it's great that, you know, with the ability online and things, some of the stations that carry your show and things like that, that, you know, with online, that there's a way for us fans to listen to at that point, at least in the Midwest and on the East Coast, the major races of the day, and get to hear you break them down and give just a little bit of analysis. I can't say that I bet them, but, you know, once in a while I do if I'm in the vehicle and have the opportunity to do that. So I just want to give you a compliment on that, guys. I just want to say that for you.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. By the way, spoiler alert, the Masters was good on Sunday for the front nine, and then it got boring after that.
That's what. And then all those, the main challengers started double bogey.
Well,
and like
I mean, he made a few birdies here and there, and Scottie Scheffler was Scottie Scheffler, and that's the way it was. And listen, he's just better than most of these guys, if not all of them right now.
I think Tom might be showing his age too by questioning the turf sprints, because, like, you know, you and me too.
I don't like turf sprints either. But listen,
A new dimension. Those are still relatively new if you're older. You know what I'm saying, Bobby? I mean, yeah, they introduced them maybe 20 years ago, but they're back in the 80s, and they weren't running any turf sprints. And now there's, you know, once they started introducing them more and more, they even created a division of the Breeders' Cup for turf sprinters. And now, if you're a younger fan being introduced to horse racing, turf sprints are just part of the landscape. You know, you don't even question them like people who can remember when there were none. You know, they tend to still, like, be irritated by them some.
Let's go get one more call before the break. Shane in North Carolina, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby and James, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are. I got two questions. The first is I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Forever Young. Obviously, he's undefeated, but with him being from overseas, you know, there's not a lot out there other than what you just see out and you read. Could you give me some more information, your thoughts on his chances in the Derby? I mean, I know, you know, this century, you know, the UAE Derby winner has not performed well. I think what Master of Hounds is the best finish. I think he got fifth when he ran back in 2011. So is this the horse to finally come over from Japan and win it? So your thoughts on Forever Young. You know, I keep reading that he doesn't like kickback. And if you don't like kickback and you're running in the Kentucky Derby, I can't like your chances. So my first question was, what do you think about Forever Young? And if I were to give y'all Sierra Leone and Fierceness or the field in the Derby, what would you take?
All right, appreciate the call, Shane. So, James, I'm going to let you answer both of these. Is there a way that we can gauge how good?
Are you going to answer the latter too? I mean, you got to come.
Well,
on.
I mean, listen. I know that you're a very you give very wish-washy political answers. So that's a perfect question for you.
So you're saying you're going to follow? You're going to do the same today, right? No.
No, listen, I'm going to let you do it. But Forever Young, is there a way that we can 100% gauge how good this horse is? Because he's got legitimate questions.
Yeah, 100%. And heck, you asked the question before, what horse would be most negatively impacted by drawing a rail post? And I probably should have just said Forever Young, number one. I mean, they definitely do want to keep him outside. Yeah, it's not a given he won't be able to handle kickback. But one thing about him, too, is that most of his American audiences have seen him twice. And in the first race, he missed the break and was way back and was rallying wide from off the pace. But he raced up closer, Bobby. They want to be sitting like fifth or sixth with him. So to me, the break is everything for him. If they get an outside stalking up close trip like that, even if he's a few lengths back, but he's on the outside, you know, he's basically in the right spot, and it'll be a matter if he's good enough. So, I mean, to me, I want the draw and the break is really important for him. He is up against it. Shane said the best ever was a fifth, but since they started the points in 2013, none have even been able to run in the top seven. I think horses from that UAE Derby are 0-18 combined. It's all the records are terrible. As far as the bottom one, of course I would take the field, but, you know, Sierra Leone's my top pick right now. So, I mean, but the value would be there for with the field. And I'm not, like, saying, hey, I'm just going to grab the two favorites against 18 horses.
All right. So we really need to pay attention to what the post position draw is on that Saturday beforehand, and especially with some of these stalkers and maybe with Forever Young. So what you're saying is if you're Forever Young or his connections, you'd much rather draw the 20 hole than the one hole.
Oh, yes, 100%. Because you're basically worried. You know, listen, he has to get out of the gate and not get bumped around and, you know, show some quickness to establish positioning. Don't get me wrong. But if you watch his, like, last stake in December in Japan, you know, that's like in like a early – that's a beast pressing. He's up close early. You know, he's in front by the far turn and just drawing off throughout the stretch. And it's a real powerful performance. And he's got, like, more tactical positional speed than he showed in the race in Saudi Arabia.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. It's the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
Listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus size Tire Stats for only $275 per year and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
When the spring meet ends, summer success begins. Buy, sell, fresh winners, hot prospects. One night, one chance. Finish strong. Don't miss out. The Keeneland April Selected Horses of Racing Age Sale, Friday, April 26th.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Ponder. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. Let's get back out to the phones. Chris in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Bobby and James, how are you guys?
You making any money, my friend?
It's funny you should ask. 2 weeks ago, I played that cross-country pick three with the wood, the bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. I played a $40 pick three. And I thought that deterministic was vulnerable. So I played Resilience, Deterministic, Tuscan Sky. In the Bluegrass, I played Sierra Leone. And I got weak, James, and I played Just a Touch, too, because I was nervous. I thought Just a Touch might – and it didn't turn out to be terrible to go too deep there because Just a Touch was second. But I'm a Sierra Leone guy. And then in the nightcap, we left. I was at Monmouth with a couple guys who were getting something to eat. And I threw the two Baffords out. And I was single to Stronghold. And when that horse punched through and got to the wire, it wasn't a ton. We got 3,000 back for 240. And it wasn't, we've hit bigger bets than that, but it's obviously nice to hit. We almost got thrown out of the restaurant where we were going crazy. But the first thing I think after that is, why didn't I single Sierra Leone and I would get 6,000 back instead of 3,000? I can never be happy. But I guess I should take what I can get.
Wait a minute. Were you gonna do an $80 pick three just to Sierra Leone, or just saving $120 and not using Just a Touch?
I was betting $240 on that.
Oh, you would earmarked $240 for the wager, no matter what. Okay.
That's it. Because when I play pick fives, I normally play a $200 pick five. And what I'm really doing is I'm making a $200 win bet on a horse that I like the most in the sequence. Trying to find a horse that's not a favorite, but if a horse is a favorite, he's a favorite. Like last Saturday, I loved Encino. I mean, those horses from Turfway Park, they're running at Keeneland. You know, and you look at Two Phils last year, what he did in the Derby coming out of that Turfway stake. You know, I thought 5-1 on the morning line on Encino was a joke. I thought he would get bet down. I thought it would be 5-2. 3-1 was a great price. So I singled that horse, but I did get knocked out. I only got 4 out of 5. But I like to single, and I go 4x4x5x5 and spread in the other four, try to catch a little chaos and make a few dollars and move on to the next Saturday when I'm playing again. You know, speaking of that, looking at tomorrow, I mean, Keeneland is awesome. It's really, really tough. But the racing there, it's really good. And tomorrow, speaking of that, I'm going with I'm full trust in Tyler Gaffleone. I'm going to play the $1 pick six tomorrow. I'm going to single Banishing in race 5 with Tyler and Brendan Walsh. I'm going to single that Brad Cox Emery or whatever the name of the horse is in race 6 with Tyler. And then I'll spread, you know, 4x4x5x2. I mean, 5x5x4x2, play a $200 $1 pick six and see what we can do. The two big dirt races, which I enjoy, the Oaklawn Handicap, and I think that sequence is awesome tomorrow with the Bathgate Row or whatever the heck it is. And
Saturday,
then
not tomorrow,
the other,
Saturday.
I'll be Saturday. I'm getting ahead of myself, Bobby. I'm so excited right now. I think that sequence is great. It's amazing how few good, I mean, really good dirt handicap horses we have, thanks to all of them shipping and going to, you know, Saudi Arabia and Maidan or where, Dubai or wherever the heck they go for that $12 million race and the $20 million race. I mean, you put up $1.25 million, it's kind of, you know, crazy to see what they get. In that race, you know, I was on Highland Falls in the Santa Anita Derby. I'm going to go back for more. I'm going to hope that that horse improves. I remember watching Joel last year on Red Route 1 win that Bathgate Row, get up late. Hopefully, maybe he can do the same thing. So I'm on those two horses. The one horse that's interesting to me, which I would want to get your opinion on, is that Magic Tap. He ran in the Essex. They put him on a van or a plane, and they take him from Hot Springs, and they bring him to Lexington. He works at Keeneland. And then they put him right back on a van or a plane and bring him back to Oaklawn. He could have stayed at Keeneland and run in the Ben Ali Saturday. I mean, Asmus has already got another horse running in the Oklahoma or the Arkansas, whatever the heck it's called.
Oaklawn.
Oaklawn Handicap. So, but instead, they put him back and shipped him, turned him right around. It wasn't like he worked fast, but they must have liked what they saw. And put him right back. I think that horse is going to run. I'm not saying that horse is going to win, but that horse, I would be shocked if he's not in the money. And then, you know, the other race, the Ben Ali, you know, that's, I'm on Smile Happy. I you know, and I'm also interested to see what you guys think. You know, they gelded the horse. And I don't know. Sometimes it makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't. But if that horse can get back to his form from two or three races ago, or, you know, he wins that race for fun. He's clearly the class of the race. And, you know, Kenny McPeak could have run that horse in that allowance race that he went 1-2 in, and he could have run the horse for a tag for $100,000 if he thought the horse was done. Instead, he saved that horse and ran the other two in the allowance, and he saved that horse for the Ben Ali on Saturday. I'm really interested for the race Saturday, and hopefully I can win this pick six tomorrow and roll into Saturday with a bankroll to really go to work. I will hang up as usual, and I enjoy your show. And we got Dynamic One I'm also interested in. I mean, Pletcher hasn't given up on the horse, but we got Dynamic One running Saturday, and I got the Dynamic Duo on the radio.
All right, appreciate the call, Chris. Broke up right at the end. Chris, very excited about the racing at Keeneland, both tomorrow and Saturday. Certainly wishing him best of luck in that pick six. I don't know if this is the answer to his Magic Tap question, James, but my guess is that since First Mission is not in the Oaklawn Handicap and very likely going in the Ali Sheba instead, I'm wondering if some of the horses that we're thinking about maybe wish, you know, which one they want to go in are steering clear of First Mission. First Mission beat Magic Tap by like 6 lengths in the Essex. And he looks like, if he's not the best older horse in the country, he is certainly in the discussion of the best older horses in the country right now. I know there was a time where Brad Cox was undecided whether First Mission would go in the Oaklawn Handicap or the Ali Sheba. It looks like the Ali Sheba won out, because he's not in the Oaklawn Handicap, and I'm wondering if that steered Magic Tap back to Oaklawn.
Yeah, and very well may have. And, you know, the Oaklawn Handicap mile and an eighth, and I know he won the Clark, or he ran the second in the Clark at a mile and an eighth, but mile and 16th distance, so the Ali Sheba might be a better fit. You know, it is intriguing with Smile Happy, but I'll just say this. I mean, even if he doesn't win, if he runs, it runs a good effort, you know, like you can look at this third in the Oaklawn mile he ran last year. He runs an effort similar to that in this race. I think McPeak wheels him right back off a 2-week layoff in the Ali Sheba. He's not opposed to running those horses back quick. That race, you know, you have Keith Barn in there, and he didn't run that fast in that allowance win. I'm a little intrigued by War Campaign. He's got to keep stepping up for Phil Sims, but those last two efforts were good. He has a win in this Tinsel Stakes back in December, and he came back in March with the second in the Essex. And I just think that five-year-old's getting good for Phil Sims, like I said. As far as the, you know, I think that the way he played it, I mean, I think Stronghold was a better, you know, if he loves Stronghold and he's a better price than Sierra Leone, and most of the people are playing that sequence, or a lot of people playing that sequence are going to single Sierra Leone. I think he did the smart thing by using Just the Touch or whoever he likes second best in there. He would have eliminated a lot of tickets, and the other horse he used ran second, and he had a shot at a big payout with his opinion of Stronghold. He still got a big payout with his opinion of Stronghold. That's what I meant to say. So that was good. And Bobby, anything else he mentioned I forgot?
No, but what was the name of that McPeak three-year-old a year or two ago that ran in, like, the American Derby or the American Stakes at Churchill, and, like, a week later ran in the Indiana Derby? And then he broke slowly and lost all chance at the start.
Oh, yeah, and he got – I remember that. And he got bet off the board in that race in the Indiana Derby. Yeah, I forget his name, though. I do remember that horse.
I think it was a week later. Like, he came back in a week and tried to run in the – yeah. And so
he'll turn these two-year-olds around quickly in the fall. He'll run them in those stakes in that shortened September meet. And run him back 2-3 weeks later, back like in races like the Alcibiades and Breeders' Futurity. So he's not opposed to that short rest. And right. Smile Happy, let's face it, hasn't run since mid-February, and he didn't get much out of those races in January and February, or he showed very little in them.
One more call before the break. Charles in Mississippi, welcome to the show, my friend.
What's going on, guys?
What's up with you? You got a month left in the meet, pal. Are you starting to get nervous?
First of all, I want to eat some crow, Bobby. I was really tough on Hissa, Hisa, whatever you want to say it, last year. And I've really come to the conclusion that ever since that guy got 2 years at Oaklawn Park, Deodora, you can see that it's really kind of cleaned things up over there. And that's why you see all these shots coming in. Magic Chance has no chance the Oaklawn Derby, okay? The Oaklawn Handicap, no chance. And I'm going to play Instant Coffee in there, and I'm going to hook him in a double with that Spirit Indian in the Arkansas Bred Maiden race, the last race, and a double, and just hope against hope. But
Which one is that in race 12?
Spirit Indian in the last race, the horse that went out last year. I've been watching him work in the morning.
Indian Spirit.
Jackson's horse who's opened the house. I've been watching the horse work. I think he'll be at least 10-15 to 1. You know, and I think he's got a legitimate shot to win it. All I did this weekend, I played two parlays. I parlayed Skelly, and I parlayed Adair Manor, and I got a little under 2-1 for my money. And then I made a three-horse parlay with Skelly, Adair Manor, and Encino, and I got, like, pretty close to, I think, 7-1 for my money. So, you know, sometimes you just got to take, but I'm just telling you, that Oaklawn Park you got to look at every horse nowadays, boys. I mean, even, you know, the smaller stables. You know, I know it's getting to the end of the meet and everybody wants to get fed, but it's been really competitive. The jockeys are being really competitive, and it's just a lot of fun. But that is the softest Oakland handicap I've probably seen in my lifetime. So I'm going to probably put another horse in there. From what I've seen with Magic Tap, she's got no chance to win that race. It's either going to go Skippy Longstocking, Red Root 1. And I'm maybe he's putting that Magic Tap back in there to ensure that Red Root 1 gets a legitimate pace. And that's just my opinion on it. But I'm going to play Instant Coffee and hope against hope, baby.
All right, and,
go ahead.
Yeah, I know y'all. Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate the call, Charles. And Charles loves him some Oaklawn Park. They've had some big prices win this meet. He is a fan of the fact that Robertino Teodoro is no longer welcome to do business there or any other HISA encompassed racetrack.
He's touting 15-1 shots,
and he's touting 15-1 shots who have the double lines, which means they haven't run in a whole long time. But that's what he likes.
At least Chris gave us a 10-1 shot, and it was the other Asmussen. So
listen, I like both of these guys. They have opinions, and they bet their opinions. Sometimes they win, sometimes they don't. And we hear about it either way. Hopefully, I only hope that when they're winning, I'm on the same horses they're on, which is not always a guarantee. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. If you're online, stick around. We will get to you right after the break. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Back to the phones we go. Evan in Chicago, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. First time I've had a chance to call in. I've been listening for about 2 years. I wanted to bring some youth to the show. I think I'm one of the youngest callers that I've heard on. So I'm 33 years young, and encourage anyone else that's young listening and loving the sport to call in as well.
I appreciate you calling in. Evan, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the weekend stakes preview. I think it's some of the best content I consume before going into Saturday race weekends. And I wanted to ask if you would ever consider introducing another person on to be a third voice and another perspective on the racing on the weekend stakes preview.
We are open to all suggestions. It's just a matter of time, meaning a matter of timing, not a matter of time, because we try to get as many races as we can in that hour, and between commercial breaks that we need to take and promos and things like that, you know, getting a third yeah. voice in, we try to cover, if we can, somewhere between, 12, 14 races a week, and that's between two of us, and we still probably don't go in depth as much as we would like to. If we got a third person in there, I'm wondering, we'd either have to cut back in the amount of races we were covering, or we'd have to even talk less about the races that we are covering. So I don't know. I'm not saying we're not going to do it. I'm saying we'd have to figure out how we could logistically do it.
Yep. Well, I think there's a lack of quality content out there. So if there's another medium in which you could have another guest, would love to see that. Appreciate the great work, and we'll continue listening to you guys.
Appreciate the call, Evan. Thanks very much. Let's go back out to the phones. Mike in New York, you're on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to get your take on something that you don't hear people talk about too much, kind of surface-wise. Now, the Japanese horses race, pretty strictly from what they say, a sandy-type surface, right? If you look at it, they've done fairly well at an 80% surface on Santa Anita, 80% surface at Saratoga or Belmont. But Churchill's a different animal, right? That's like 70% clay surface, is it not?
James, I'm going to let you answer that one
because
I don't know the answer to that.
Mike, I mean, it's not as sandy as Belmont, but I don't know the exact composition.
No, I thought it was something like mostly a clay-based surface, and I'm wondering, I know horses like Easy Go, or whether, it could be small feet, big feet, whatever the story is, but I know horses like Easy Go always said they slid on that surface. He didn't fare well in the juvenile. He didn't fare well in the Derby. And I noticed with, he did much better on the sandy-type tracks, too. I'm just kind of wondering if the Japanese maybe don't take to that clay-based surface too well.
That's an interesting I just don't know.
That's
I will say this, Mike. From what we've been told, the quality of the Japanese-based runners that have tried to run in the Derby in the past isn't as strong as this Japanese-based runner, Forever Young. This is supposedly the best chance they've had at winning the Derby. Not necessarily meaning he's better than these other horses he's going to run against, but they over there think this is the best chance that they have had, the proverbial they. I mean, Dermisoda Gake has turned out to be a nice horse. He wasn't really much of a factor. He was involved with the pace and everything. It wasn't much of a factor in the Derby.
I just mean that when you look at it, Mandarin Hero and Dermisoda Gake did a lot better on the sand-based Santa Anita than they did at Churchill.
They interesting. Both ran well there.
So would you say, Mike, that you watching the gallops and potentially one or two more works of Forever Young means it's more important watching him than maybe the American-based runners to see how he likes the track there at Churchill and how he's moving over it?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that'd be some part of it. But even then, sometimes these horses can work okay on it, but then not do well the day of it. So it's kind of it's kind of strange. I just know that I've always loved those Japanese runners when they've raced on the sandy surface. A couple times I got burned when a couple of them looked really good and then they scratched out of the Belmont Stakes. But
Casino Droth.
It went like, I think, 3 furlongs and 33 or something the Friday before. And then scratched out. But they seem to, I just know that the surface is, I know some don't like that clay base, and there's not many that are the clay base. That's why I kind of wondered.
One thing about Forever Young, Mike, that I'll say real quick is that, you know, his UAE Derby wasn't as brilliant as Dermot Satigake, and even Crown Pride ran faster 2 years ago. So, you know, I think it was a little bit more workmanlike than his races in Japan, and I don't know about the Japanese surfaces, but, you know, maybe he wasn't relishing that track as much as, like, a horse like Dermot Satigake. Maybe that would help him, but it's a really fair point, and one that I'm definitely going to run by some people just to see if anybody has any thoughts in the matter.
Appreciate that. Yeah, no, I've been following for many, many years, decades, so not as much now as years ago. But, yeah, I just kind of know that sometimes that affects some horses, the surface. And that's not a surface that's really well-known for many other tracks. It's mostly sand-based. So, okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call, Mike. Well, we have to pay closer attention. Listen, there's a lot of horses we need to pay close attention to and how they're working up to the Derby. Obviously, Endlessly, he'll be trying dirt for the first time, but as Mike mentioned, these Japanese-based runners, whether it's Forever Young or T.O. Password, who's, of course, not getting any publicity at all, and I think he'll be a huge long shot, but another one who's going to be trying the U.S. for the first time. Before we go to break, James, and if you're on the line, stick on the line. We will get to you after the break. Who is your best bet of the weekend?
It's going to be a 15-1 shot. Number 4, Empire's Princess, race 10 at Keeneland Saturday. It's an entry level 5.5 furlong turf sprint. Dallas Stewart trained the dam, Baruta. She ran second at Horseshoe Indy in her first start, eventually won the Grade 3. Senator Ken Matty on sprinting on turf was a really solid turf sire, turf winner. This is her daughter. Empire's Princess, first time on turf, second. Her next 4 starts were all either off the turf or for the most part off the turf races. Got back on the grass last time, 31-1, rallied to be third at Fairgrounds. That was a nice field last month. The runner-up Royal Flower is a nice filly for Asmus. And the winner didn't run any good, but at least she ran in a Grade 3 stake next out. Empire's Princess is going to move forward with a strong showing. There's plenty of early speeds to enter to set up early run, and the contenders on the morning line, the top contenders on the morning line are vulnerable. I got number 4, Empire's Princess, in race 10 at Keeneland Saturday.
All right, we're going to take our final break. If you're online, stick around. We'll get to you right after the break. BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free past performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We have the world at our fingertips, inspiration in our touch, and power in our hands. Our hands, gentle enough to hold the next generation, yet strong enough to build movements that can change the world. Our hands can build relationships, frame ideas, and empower communities. We have the ability to share and imagine, create and comfort, love and heal the world around us. And it doesn't stop there. Right here, in our hands, we have the power to save a life. If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest. The power is in your hands. Anthem Foundation is the proud national supporter of the American Heart Association's Hands Only CPR campaign.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, what's going on at Twin Spires and BrisNet this weekend?
At BrisNet, we're going to have a Kentucky Oaks and a Kentucky Derby package. It's $29.99. We're going to have contender PPs, full card PPs, Derby primer, historical past performances, insider picks and power plays, Kentucky handicapper sheet, profit line tip sheets. Plus, we'll have 20% off on other products as well. So check this this great package, the Oaks and Derby package at BrisNet.com. Twin Spires has a real popular daily double promotion going at Keeneland. Give you up to 15% back, you get two doubles or more. And we've got an Oaklawn leaderboard, $2,500 in cash will be given away, and promos for other tracks as well. So make sure you go to the offers page at twinspires.com and opt in.
What is the Derby Primer? What exactly is that?
Derby Primer is going to give you all this historical data on past winners, and you know, I think, and just I'm not really sure though, right offhand, but I think it's like
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus, buddy, but that sounds like I was intrigued when you say it. I was like, ooh, there's something I haven't heard of before. Yeah. I want to know what that is.
I think it's going to be like it's some perspective on what it takes to win the Kentucky Derby. So, but that's a good question. I'll ask Nas more about tomorrow.
All right, she has all the answers. Let's go out to the phone. Steve in New York, welcome to the BrisNet.com call-in show.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, good. Real quick, because I know we're at the end here, I'll just tell you, Catching Freedom is winning the Kentucky Derby. You can book that. The only thing I'll ask Scully is, you know, are you hearing any buzz around this horse where you are over there? Because the last thing I want is an over bet. You know, buzz horse. I'm hoping he'll be at least 8-1. I was curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think he would. I mean, I would think with all the money, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young are taking, it'd be amazing if he wasn't getting more than 8-1 on Catching Freedom.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in the running for four choice in the betting. I mean, he and I think his stablemate, Just a Touch, might be in the mix, or Stronghold, too. But, yeah, I mean, he said he's hoping, though, for at least 8-1. I think he's going to get that, too. I mean, you're right, it might be low double digits. Catching Freedom, he's working really well with Churchill Downs. He's going out there and drilling fast works and doing it easily. And to me, it looks like he's coming in a race great. He's got progressing form. He takes another step forward to me. You know, he's set for a big effort. What do you think about him?
I mean, I think he's a horse who obviously is going to benefit from if there's any sort of pace up front. We know Fierceness wants to go. There are a few other ones in there who look like they're forwardly placed types. Maybe not, gunning it from the get-go kind of a thing, but we'll see what the pace is. It certainly looks like the extra distance doesn't do anything but help Catching Freedom's chance. He's like some of these other runners, though, where, you know, they're going to have to work out the trip, and it's very likely he's going to have to pass I don't know, 14 or 15 other runners in the race? Or would you say that's
I mean, I think ideally if you're betting him, you'd like to see him, like, in the top 12, maybe, like, you know, 10th, 11th, or 12th. And I'm not saying that's impossible, but you might be more right about, you know, 14th or 15th early. One thing he's got going for him, because he does look like Honor Marie and some other horses like of that. But he does have a good jock for the Derby, Flavian Pratt. He's hit the one or place in his last four Derby mounts. He's had six Derby mounts. He's only been off the board once. So nobody rides the race better presently than Flavian Pratt. So at least he has the right jockey, I think.
All right, Catching Freedom. Are you involved? This is a dumb question. I think I know the answer. Are you heavily involved in these morning works shows that Churchill Downs puts on?
Yeah, well, we're doing a scale back version of it because we're not doing the hour show because of the construction and the engineers and just couldn't take over all the sound equipment and everything. So we're doing a 20-minute taping, two-person at the desk, showing the 15-minute workout period and like 5 minutes of analysis. And I'll be on this Monday and then Wednesday of Derby Week, and then I'll be on with Joe Christofek, the first one. I think Caitlin Free, the second one. So, yeah, I'll make two appearances on that show that starts Saturday morning, the Derby Work Show. And then I'll be working some at Churchill on Derby Week. So, definitely on the weekend. And I'll try to swing by and see you guys one morning out on the backside.
No, we love that. So does the show that you're on with Churchill, does that start this Saturday?
It does. It starts this Saturday. It's going to run, I guess, 13 days or whatever, 14 days. It was going to start on Monday, but since we're doing just a 20-minute show and we're taping it, really just for, social media and Facebook and everything, we're not going to have it's not going to be the same production that it's been in past years, but we are going to get that going and run it for nearly 2 weeks.
Okay, so we'll get to see all the works and all the horses out on the track. It's just going to be a lot less fluff in between kind of a thing.
Yeah, and Rosie Napravnik's going to be on there, as well as the Travis Stone, the track announcer. He's making an appearance. And then the regular broadcast team up at Churchill Downs as well, led by Joe Christofek as well.
And maybe we'll see Tony Kahlo on
yeah, Tony Cat. Tony's definitely working. He's scheduled 3 days. And
fantastic.
Kevin Gilroy. Yeah, Caitlin Free and Joe Christofek been on the team, and then they've added Kevin Kilroy from Fairgrounds, and Tony Kahlo, Turfway announcer, is going to take over, at Ellis and be on the broadcast team when Churchill's running live.
Okay, so since you're taping this, when and where can we find this each day?
It's going to be on the Kentucky Derby, and they have a YouTube channel. Twin Spires will probably have it as well. They'll probably have a video link on KentuckyDerby.com. I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet, and we'll be on other social media sites, I guess, like X and stuff like that.
And is the dedicated session, what is it? Is it 7:30 every morning?
Yeah, 7:30 to 7:45. And I think it actually starts this Saturday. Everybody that's been training there, and there's been a bunch of them have been, going out on their own. But they get the they basically close the track off for just the Oaks and Derby horses. And if they're going to work in company with a workmate, they go out there too.
Okay, and by the way, these Oaks and Derby horses don't have to work during that time. That's just dedicated to them. If they want to go out earlier or later, they certainly can, and we've seen that happen with a few of them over the years, including
a guy like Brad Cox has three horses in the race. He might want to use the same exercise rider, so he can't work two horses in that period, and so the other one will probably be going out at like you said, 5:45 to 6 o'clock-ish, right at the crack of dawn. Asmussen did that last year, has done that before. But sometimes these guys just have multiple horses too, and they don't want to work all of them at the same time.
All right, won't hold you to it, but what would be your best guess as to when each day these videos will be available for us to find?
I'd say late morning, definitely.
All right, really appreciate it, James. Looking forward to seeing that. for the next few weeks. Our thanks to all the callers and the listeners tonight. Special thanks to producer Lee Delapina. For my co-host James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on the BrisNet.com call-in show. Tomorrow, Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 Eastern, then the weekend stakes preview from 6 to 7 o'clock at night. Have a great night, everybody.